Choosing to Live Child-Free. The American birth rate is the lowest it has been in 30 years. There are a lot of reasons for this, but a big one is that more and more people are choosing not to have children. For young and middle-aged adults, especially women, this decision can raise eyebrows and solicit a lot of unwanted judgment, even shaming. I'm Jennifer Rooks. UMaine sociologist Amy Blackstone studies people like herself, people who have chosen not to have children. And she has some interesting insights into the different reasons people make this choice and how society perceives of them and treats them. We'll talk with Amy and her co-blogger and husband, Lance, about their child-free journey. We'll also hear from the author of a new memoir, No One Tells You This, about being a single woman over 40 without children. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. We live in a pretty judgmental society, as anyone who chooses not to have kids knows. There are constant questions about why someone would want to be child-free. Well, today we'll talk with people who made that choice and what their experiences have been and what that teaches us about our society at large. With me in our studio, Amy Blackstone. She is a sociology professor at the University of Maine, and she is the author of the forthcoming book, Child-Free by Choice. And Lance Blackstone is Amy's husband and an IT consultant. He and Amy write the blog, We're Not Having a Baby. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you deciding whether you want to have kids or not? Do you know someone who opted to be child-free? Did you? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you both for being here on the program. And Amy, I have a very early copy of your book. It looks terrific. I wish I'd had a chance to read it before the program today. But why don't I just start by asking you all to tell your story, if you will. Sort of, you married really young by today's standards. Was this something you talked about and were firm about before you got married, or not so much?
We did marry very young. And thank you for having us, by the way. We're really excited to be here. And when we got married, we both assumed that we would have children one day. And I think we both grew up assuming that we would have children one day. And we each have our own version or side of this story. But from my perspective, I, at first, as you noted, we were young when we married. And so our answer when we were asked, when are you having kids, always was, well, we're too young. We'll do it later. And then by about my mid-20s, I had started graduate school and decided, well, I better get my PhD first. The timing's not right. And I would still answer that question with I'm too young. And then by the time I hit my mid-30s, I realized that may not be the most appropriate answer anymore based on what we know about how fertility changes over women's life course. The answer of I'm too young didn't really seem to apply anymore. So I started to think more seriously about, you know, why is it that I'm still answering that I'm not ready to have children, and ultimately landed on, you know what, I really love our life and my life as it is and am happy in my life, and I don't need to have children. It's a choice, and I can make the choice not to.
Lance, what's your version of the story?
I think we both started out pretty much the same way with the assumption that we would have kids at some point. And for me, I think I kept waiting for the I want them moment. I never really wanted them, but I just assumed that as, you know, an adult at some point, I would want them. I guess I've never become an adult. So, but there was definitely a time period during which I was moving more and more to the side of, yeah, I don't think I want kids. But I had really bought into the idea that Amy's maternal instincts would kick in and that she would definitely at one point want to have them. So while I didn't want to have them for myself, I was willing to have them because I thought she eventually would want to. And there was actually a period of time where she came out saying strongly she didn't want them, and I literally didn't believe her for probably a couple of years. And because I just, oh, yeah.
So that's how strong the narrative is, how strong that what we've been raised to believe is that we will want children, that there will be some sort of, as you said, maternal instinct that will kick in, and it will happen.
Right.
Yes. Even if we're not feeling it.
Right. And right. I bought into that narrative myself. I mean, part of what drove my research was realizing that I wasn't having this, you know, drive toward motherhood that I had assumed that I would feel at one point, and that I was told, you know, my whole life that I would. And I wanted to know what was wrong with me. And so I turned to the research on this question about the child-free choice, really as sort of a personal quest to understand my own circumstance.
So when you made the decision and when you started telling people, what was the reaction from family and from friends?
For me, well, from family, I never really got a whole lot of pressure from my family. I have four older sisters, all of which who have kids.
Oh, so there's no grandkid pressure.
No grandkid pressure. And frankly, I don't think there would have been a lot of grandkid pressure from my particular parents. As a guy, when people would ask if I have kids, because that's kind of like a, you know, that seems to be a socially safe icebreaker, you know, like, how many kids do you have? I would say none, usually kind of gleefully, which, because I like to kick the beehive. It seems to upset people when you are so excited about the fact that you don't have kids. So, you know, people kind of have this, you know, what do you mean you don't have kids? And now that I'm, you know, in my mid-40s, the response is, I think, a little less. But when I was in my mid-30s, it was definitely a, like, how could you not want to have kids?
So with you, it was a little bit of befuddlement. I'm guessing, Amy, that you got a different reaction because you're a woman.
Yes, absolutely. So I will say that our circumstance varies pretty dramatically from the circumstances of many child-free people I've spoken with, in that our families really have been supportive of our choice, and we're very lucky in that regard, and I'm grateful for that. In terms of just everyday kinds of social interactions, yeah, I've definitely experienced more pushback when it comes up than Lance has, more shock. Sometimes people take offense. I had an Uber driver tell me once that I would live to regret my choice. And then we spent the rest of the Uber ride with him sharing stories about the joys of his grandchildren. So, and I, you know, we've had awkward moments at parties. I like Lance, often get the question, so how many kids do you have? And it's a really tricky question to answer. I don't tend to like to kick the beehive quite as much as Lance does. So I'm always trying to navigate, you know, answering honestly. And the honest response is that I'm very happy that I don't have children. But as you probably would understand, people don't like to hear that. But I also don't want to respond in a way that makes it sound like I'm not happy with my choice, because that's not accurate. So it's difficult to respond to those questions, and then it places the asker in sometimes a difficult place, and they don't always know where to carry the conversation from there. So I did have one time at a party, a woman asked me how many kids I had. I said, well, we don't have any, but we have a terrible cat, and he's enough for us. And her response was, oh, and she turned and walked away from me. So you know, sometimes it leaves people speechless.
It's interesting because, as Lance said, it seems to be a safe icebreaker. People probably originally ask the question not meaning anything, just sort of trying to get to know you. And then suddenly it becomes this very emotionally charged argument. Very quickly, it sounds like. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, I mean, you mentioned early on, the narrative that we're all raised to believe is that we are meant to become parents. And for women in particular, we're raised to believe that that is the most important role that we can play in our lives. So it really shakes, you know, the foundation of of our beliefs about what it means to be human, what it means to make meaning in your life, and what it means to be a family.
Yeah, and I think at just a very basic level, so many people, most people don't choose to have children, they just have children. And so it's almost a befuddlement, because you don't even have a basis for thinking of this as a choice. And so, and I also think that there are some people who, when you say you don't have kids, the other option is I can't have kids, which, you know, is horrible for people who want kids. And I think some people who, you know, that's another place that people go. And sometimes that, you know, if you tell them you're happy you don't have kids and you've chosen not to, they can have the kind of reaction that Amy described. If you just tell them you don't have kids, they kind of don't know why. So they don't quite know how to respond in that scenario.
All right. Well, Amy, I want to talk about some of the research that went into your book in just a minute. But first, I want to go to our line with, we have Jamie Page Deaton. You know her name and her voice because she's the automotive editor for U.S. News and World Report and a regular guest here on Maine Calling, talking about cars. But that's not why you're on the show today, is it, Jamie?
No, you guys caught me in things living forever on the internet.
Yes, we did.
My mind about having kids.
That's right. You wrote a 2006 essay about this topic, about choosing not to have kids. The headline was "No Kids for Me," Jamie. But you've been on this air on our air talking about minivans and car seats.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's interesting. It's been years since I read that essay. And then when the producer called me up, I went and read it, and it was kind of, you know, it was a little bit eye-opening because obviously, you know, things changed. And what really changed for me, you know, it's interesting. I heard one of the guests mention, you know, a lot of people just have kids. They don't choose to have kids. They just have kids. And that's not been my experience. It was a very conscious choice made with much deliberation. And it's difficult for me to articulate exactly what changed my mind. I know it had something to do with about 3 years after I wrote that essay, my father died very suddenly and unexpectedly. And it really shook my worldview, which in turn, I think, shook my husband's worldview quite a bit. And we just started talking about kind of, you know, what do we want out of life, knowing that it could end at any moment. And then, you know, the subject of kind of kids came up, which I thought was strange because, you know, as it relates to my father's death, he wasn't very good with little kids. I think he was one of those people who just had kids because that's what you do. And it wasn't until his children were adults that he had really good relationships with them. And so for me, you know, that's the best that I can articulate about what really changed there. And it really was a choice for us, for both my husband and I. You know, we kind of said, we don't really necessarily want kids per se. You know, we're not, neither one of us are, you know, the big kind of people that you go into a room full of kids and all the kids come running to us and they love us. What it really for us was about is, you know, we'd really like to hang out with some cool adults someday when we're older. And the easiest way to do that is to grow them ourselves.
So I'm curious, Jamie, in the kind of judgment you find now that you're a mom, as opposed to the person you were before as someone who was publicly saying you didn't want kids. I'm guessing that there are judgments with both.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the big difference is, and of course it is, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. It does not matter which choice you make, whether you have kids or you don't. You're inviting scrutiny into your life. And that's just a fact of, you know, being human and living in a community. The difference is, you know, when you don't have kids, you are judged for the decision of not having kids, which is a very big decision. When you have kids, you are judged for every little thing you do with those kids. So, for example, you know, I'm talking about car seats a lot, and I always tell people don't put your kids in big, heavy coats in the car seats because it's not safe, which means that I'm constantly taking my kids in and out of their big, heavy coats, which a lot of times, you know, if we're just walking into the store, I'm not putting them back in their coat. Like, they can walk, you know, the 100 feet to the grocery store in the cold without a coat. Well, the number of comments that I've gotten from people basically telling me what a terrible mother I am because I let my son walk 100 feet in the cold without a coat, you know, it's a fairly common occurrence to the point where I've stopped letting him walk without a coat. And I say to him, look, people are going to say mean things to me if you don't wear your coat. And that helps, you know, tamp down on the arguing. But it's really just kind of, what kind of criticism do you want to invite in your life? Do you want criticism for one big decision, or do you want a criticism for every little decision that you make? And, you know, it's just the way the world works.
Amy's been nodding the whole time you've been talking, Jamie. Anything you want to jump in and say, Amy?
Yeah, well, I'm glad that Jamie raised this point about damned if you do, damned if you don't, because it is so true. I mean, you have no children, and the question is, what's wrong with you? Why do you hate kids? You have one child, and the question is, aren't you going to give your child a sibling? That's so selfish of you. And then you have many children, and suddenly you're selfish because you've had too many. So, you know, unless it's the 2.5, the dog, the heterosexual partner, and the white picket fence, you really are inviting criticism.
Well, Jamie, go ahead.
I would just like to add, I mean, even if it is, you know, the 2.5 kids and the dog and the white picket fence and the heterosexual couple, which is basically what I have, but then, you know, it comes into...
0.5?
Well, 0.5, basically what I have. But, I mean, then you're inviting into, oh, aren't you just living the suburban life? Aren't you just so white bread? Like, aren't you going to do anything different? Are you not a creative person? Like, couldn't you think of another way? Don't you just follow the rules? And so it's just, you know, I think just as a general rule, as a species, as a society, we should be working to give, you know, give each other a break and just let each other live our lives, whether we choose to do it with children, without children, with, you know, 2.5 children or 10 children. You know, it's really doesn't quite matter the way other people are living their lives. And so we should just, you know, be interested in people without being so negative about choices they make that are different from our own.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for calling up and sharing your story. Jamie Page Deaton, automotive editor for U.S. News and Rural Report, and we'll have you back on soon. Thanks, Jamie.
All right, thanks.
So I want to go back to your research, Amy. Tell me what questions you wanted to ask and how you asked them.
Sure. So I started the research really interested in, I'm mostly a sociologist of gender, so every research I engage in, I'm always interested in how gender plays a role in whatever phenomenon I'm studying. So I went into the work wanting to understand how people make the decision not to have children, how that may vary by gender, and then also what the social responses to that choice are and how responses vary by gender. And not surprisingly, I discovered that, of course, our responses vary dramatically by gender, as we've already touched on. The choice for women, I think, raises a lot more questions than it does if a man shares that he doesn't have children. But I also discovered that there are many other complexities to this choice, and that the lives of child-free people are full and interesting, and that they form families. And that they do think about their futures and that they do care about the future of others. And all of those things really were revealed to me over the course of conducting interviews with people. So the project became much bigger than I anticipated when I started it.
Okay, well, we're speaking with Amy Blackstone, her husband Lance Blackstone. Amy's upcoming book is called Child Free by Choice: The Movement Redefining Family and Creating a New Age of Independence. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post on our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Seth Rigoletti, leadership coach, helping businesses and individuals say it simply, clearly, and persuasively. Learn more at SethRigoletti.com. And Martin's Point Healthcare, dedicated to providing the highest quality care and coverage to the people of Maine and New Hampshire, offering Generations Advantage, the only Medicare Advantage plan ranked 5 stars by Medicare in the state. Learn how you can enroll at generationsadvantage.com.
President Trump says taxing imports from China is a moneymaker.
I think we're very close to doing something with China, but I don't know that I want to do it. Because what we have right now is billions and billions of dollars coming into the United States in the form of tariffs or taxes.
But at what cost? Putting a price tag on America's trade war with China. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening on Maine Public Radio. If you love public broadcasting and have experience with philanthropic giving, Maine Public may have a position open that may be of interest to you. We're seeking a full-time major gifts coordinator and researcher to join our team, working to ensure a sustainable future for this valued service. If you or someone you know might want more information, please visit mainepublic.org and click on About and then Careers. Thanks.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Choosing to be Child-Free. Joining me, Amy Blackstone, UMaine sociology professor. Her upcoming book is Child Free by Choice. Lance Blackstone is her husband. He and Amy write a blog together called We're Not Having a Baby. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now, Glynis McNichol. She's the author of No One Tells You This, and she writes also about the child-free choice. Glynis, thanks for giving us a call.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So you penned a piece for the New York Times last July, which I saw. The headline, I'm in my 40s, child-free, and happy. Why won't anyone believe me? And in that column, you tell a story about meeting a well-known author at a dinner party. Can you give us the abbreviated version of that?
Yes. I was at dinner, and I was telling him about the premise of my memoir, which was essentially about turning 40 and not being married and not having kids and sort of discovering it was, you know, enjoyable in ways no one had prepared you for. And in the middle of this, he sort of turned to me and he said, Glynis McNichol, you have a terrible life. And I thought, I'm sitting here with you drinking a martini and like a silk dress and having quite a good time. But it was just, it feels often as a woman when you don't have certain things that we sort of expect women to have in their lives, namely a partner, a marriage, and particularly a child, that people don't really understand how to value your life and don't believe that you could possibly be leading a fulfilling one.
And I read that you wrote your memoir in part because you felt as though for women, the happy ending was always a prince and children.
Well, there is no ending for a story about women unless it ends in a wedding or a child. I mean, if you really sit down and think hard about the stories, movies, everything, I really struggled to find anything that reflected the life I was living. And so as a writer and as someone who had leaned so hard on storytelling through my life as a blueprint or a guide, it was incredibly upsetting and sort of suffocating to find myself without any version of my life and the life of so many women I knew to look to as sort of a frame of reference. Because, you know, I mean, I joke sometimes, but it's true. The sitcom gets canceled the year after the main characters get married, or it ends with the baby being born. Like, we really don't understand women's lives without these two sort of solutions to the problem of a woman on her own.
What has been the reaction to first the New York Times article and now your memoir?
The Times article, to be quite honest, I got an amazing reaction to both. I think I was anticipating some pushback, and it was quite the opposite. I've gotten nothing but really positive responses from married women as well as single women. And what has been so fascinating to me is I often hear from women who are in their 60s or 70s who didn't have children, and they're all, because I think when you decide not to have a child, what you face is a lot of, you're going to regret this. This is a bad decision. You know, it's a lot of like, don't you worry, you're going to regret doing this. And all I heard from women across the board was, I never regretted this. Life just gets better and more enjoyable, so don't second guess yourself. And that in and of itself was fascinating to me because culturally we never hear from those women. So it was really interesting to get that response.
Well, Glynis, thank you so much for calling into the show today. Glynis McNichol, a writer and the author of No One Tells You This. I'm going to go to Joan, who's calling from Exeter, New Hampshire. Hi, Joan. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I knew when I was about 8 or 9 years old that I did not want to have children. I had to have my tonsils taken out, and I was in the children's ward, and when I woke up, all I heard were babies crying and screaming. Are you there?
Yeah, oh yeah, go on.
Oh yeah. So I said to myself, if this is what having children is all about, I want nothing to do with it. I babysat for about 6 months out of my entire life. I'm 64 years old now. When I started dating men, I had to, I would start to get into a good relationship with someone. I had to tell them I was not interested in having children. And I lost, you know, quite a few very nice people in my life because of that, you know, the way I felt. I finally got married. He ended up getting a vasectomy. Then we got divorced, and I finally had my tubes tied when I was 39 years old.
Well, Joan, you sound like some of the people that Glynis heard from when she wrote her book. Thank you so much.
And I've never regretted it. I feel very fortunate to live in this time frame so that I did not have to have children.
Well, thank you for calling into Maine Calling today.
You're welcome. Bye.
Your thoughts, Amy?
Yeah. That question of regret is one that comes up a lot. And unfortunately, there are not a lot of good quantitative data that tell us, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could find out what the likelihood of regret is as we're moving over the course of our lives? We can't, but we do know from lots of anecdotes and from lots of really great qualitative research exactly what we've just heard, that if you ask people who chose not to have children near the end of their lives if they regret their choice, the answer is no. But I think it's important to make clear the distinction between people who've made that choice, it's a conscious, deliberate choice, versus people who wanted children but come to find at the end of their lives that they never had that opportunity for any number of reasons. Those are two very different groups. And often when we have these conversations, we tend to confuse those two groups. And particularly with respect to the question of regret, it's important to keep in mind that in this case, we're talking, again, about people who've made the choice.
Well, one of the things that's interesting to me about the regret question is it's always from the perspective of the person having the child and the impact on them. And nobody asks, what if you have kids and you regret it? What is the impact on the kids that you have? And, you know, not being happy in your life as a parent, having kids, that's not good for them. So I think personally, I'd rather go through my life and have a regret that I didn't have kids than go through my life and have a regret that I did have kids and potentially have taken out that regret on those kids.
We have an email from Tyler. I'm in the category of people that haven't sought to have children based largely on economic reasons. Cost of living in Maine has outpaced wages. So it's just not feasible for me to support a woman and a child for a couple years, given the assumption she would work little, if at all, during the first couple years. I'm discouraged to even go out and start a new relationship for this reason. Is there any research that suggests this point of view is becoming more common?
Yes. We do know that in times of economic downturn, fertility rates go down. And that's a question that has been raised by a number of researchers about millennials today. You know, we all see the headlines about millennials and their struggles economically. We also know that fewer of them are having children at the current age than previous generations have. And part of that may have to do with economics. I mean, what we know from past economic downturns suggests that some of those people would have children if they felt that they could afford to. But I think we have to look at the larger cultural context as well. We're talking about parenthood as a choice in a way that we never have before. So it's also possible that there are more people of, you know, childbearing age today that recognize that this is a choice than did in previous generations.
So let's ask the macro question. If more and more people, more and more thoughtful, engaged people are choosing not to have children, where does this put us as a society long term?
We're fine. I don't know if you've heard about this thing called overpopulation, but we have plenty of people on this earth right now. I think where those conversations often go is concerns about repopulating within national borders. So nation states have worries about, you know, Western Europe, fertility rates are quite low. And in the U.S., as you noted at the beginning of the show, they've gone down. And so nations have worried about refilling, you know, their populations with their people. But if you look globally, we have many people in the world. And I think we need to look at solutions other than encouraging people who don't want to become parents to do so. Maybe we think about how we welcome immigrants into our nation and encourage them to be part of our nation if we're worried about our population.
We have a tweet. My mother-in-law had 14 siblings brought up in the 1930s in a farm family. In those days, children were the workforce. They were also loved and have fond memories and hilarious stories to tell. No necessity for that in this day and age.
That is absolutely true. Yes, historians will tell us that the role of children has changed dramatically over the last 150 years. So there was a time when children were laborers on family farms. And then as industrialization came along, they were sent into factories to work in factories. And it really wasn't until the post-World War II era, baby boom era, that children became the precious blessings that we think of them today, that they became people that we protect rather than think about as laborers.
We'll go to Megan, who's calling from Gray. Hi, Megan. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling. I'm currently driving right now with my six-week-old in the car with me. I spent the majority of my teens and 20s as a nanny and babysitter. I love kids. But I just kind of, this really spoke to me today because I'm in this early phase of parenthood and kind of waiting for that moment of like, yes, this is why I'm here and what I'm meant to do. And I have a number of friends and family who don't have children, but I also come from a very family and children-oriented family. It's familiar to me, but I'm also in this moment as a mother kind of faced with this feeling of like, well, you know, and not regret, by no means regret, but certainly it's not what I imagined at first. And I just find it really interesting that this is the topic today. And I don't feel guilty about the way that I am feeling right now. And maybe it's postpartum, but I appreciated this topic of conversation today. And I get it from both sides, certainly now as a mother.
Megan, my heart goes out to you. And you know, I think, Amy, part of this discussion is all about expectations, isn't it? I mean, Megan, you're probably doing just fine. You're probably doing great. You're probably sleep deprived and everything's going to work out wonderfully. But nothing has, you know, there's this expectation of a maternal instinct kicking in. And Amy, I haven't been able to read your book, but I opened to the page that said there is no such thing as a maternal instinct.
Correct.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean,
think there's necessarily anything terribly wrong with that, but I think it just is the reality for some of us, and right. We work through it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing that I hope will come out of this conversation is demystifying this thing that we call motherhood and opening of a space for women who are mothers to talk about the challenges of motherhood. That's a real taboo. Talking about not having kids is a taboo, but imagine talking about the challenges of motherhood. That may be even a bigger taboo than our conversation today. And I hope that one result of this is that we are able to talk about that.
Megan, thanks for calling and good luck to you.
Thank you.
We'll go to Nancy calling from Stockton Springs. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi. It's interesting. This is such a topic lately. It's amazing. And I was just with some young 25-year-olds, and I'm 75, and the young woman was talking about how, there's most of her friends, her peers, are not interested in having children. But she really needs children in her life, and she doesn't know how she'll find them because she doesn't really want them either. And there was kind of this unspoken thing. I myself, at 10 years old, decided not to have children, not because I heard babies crying, but because there was an issue of Time magazine that arrived with a picture of, a drawing of the earth with all the people, children and mothers and fathers and everybody just falling off the earth into dark space. And that conveyed to me the idea that the world was overpopulated at an unsustainable level. And this is right at the sort of the early days of the baby boom. So it was, I didn't realize that, but when I saw that picture, I was like, I'm not going to contribute to a planet that is already overrun. And I continue to live my life that way, with a sort of an ethical feeling about that. And I was an organic farmer, and then finally, when I was about 34, 33, it was like a change came over me that I could not stop, which was I suddenly wanted a child more than anything else in the world. And I didn't have a partner, and I just, it was really like being obsessed and possessed. Fortunately, I was able to wrestle that into a place where I would continue to not have children, because I just really believed that it wasn't the right thing for me or for the planet in my perception. And I always felt like my greatest gift to the world was not having a child. But then, you know, I was also brought up Catholic, which tells you that the church tells you that's the purpose of marriage, is to have children.
Right. And so, Nancy, you're bringing up these really interesting points, and this is something everybody's facing, these trying to live a moral life, facing perhaps, the biological clock that obviously some people do, yet growing up in a church that encourages kids, yet being worried about the future of the planet. Big questions all
it's
to...
It's complicated. For some of us, it's not. Lucky you. But for me, and for others like me, it was very complicated.
I agree. It is complicated. And I think everyone has their own story about how they came to this choice. There's a lot to unpack in what we just heard. As a sociologist, I'll stand on my sociology soapbox for just a moment and make the argument that socialization is an incredibly powerful force, and it's something that we can feel in our hearts and our souls and our bones and running through our veins. And it doesn't mean that what we're feeling, if we feel a pull toward parenthood, it doesn't mean that feeling is not real. But I would argue that feeling comes from a place of being socialized to believe that we will have that feeling. To date, at least, there is not scientific evidence of something that we call a maternal instinct. But that is not to say that people don't feel a pull toward parenthood or to motherhood.
Well, and I think when you're surrounded by people, right, that are having kids or have had kids, and I know for us, we've air quote lost friends that have kids because they have their kids and they're just gone. They move into a different life. And so, you know, all of a sudden their friends are the parents of their kids and they're involved in their kids' lives and they're doing everything that their kids, and suddenly you're not in that space anymore. And I can certainly see people kind of feeling lost. And what's your ticket back into that world? It's have kids. And so, you know, I don't think that that's all of it, but I think that is a big, you know, again, me and Amy have both seen friends just disappear, and it's sad, because, you know, it's going to be 18 years till I see these people again, essentially, and be able to have the same kind of conversations that we had before.
Nancy, thanks so much for your call. We're going to take another quick break. Before we do, a word about tomorrow's program. It is our annual Best Books Show. Listen in for book suggestions or share your favorites. You're listening to Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Portland Symphony Orchestra, celebrating the magic of Christmas with conductor Bruce Hangen, December 14th through 23rd, portlandsymphony.org. And Fresh Eggs Daily, a Maine company committed to helping you to raise the backyard chicken flock of your dreams. FreshEggsDaily.com.
Elections have consequences, but last-minute power grabs are not supposed to be one of them. Republican lawmakers in Michigan and Wisconsin are trying to strip authority from incoming Democrats who won key races. The latest on what many are calling legislative coups, next time on 1A.
1A can now be heard Monday through Thursday evenings at 9 on Maine Public Radio. And coming up today at 2, World Affairs. Reid Hoffman, co-founder of LinkedIn and Greylock Partner, discusses startups and why some succeed while others fail.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Choosing Not to Have Children. My guests are Amy and Lance Blackstone. They write about the child-free choice. Amy has a book coming out next June, Child Free by Choice. She also teaches at the University of Maine. We'll go to Barry calling from Rockport. Hi, Barry. Go ahead.
We married in 69 and decided that parenthood was not for us. I really felt that raising a child was probably the biggest responsibility one could have. And I didn't feel that I could be married and work and have a child and do justice to all of that and do justice to myself. I married in 69. I am now pretty old, and I don't regret it for a minute.
Well, Barry, thank you. Yeah, do you find that people made comments about your choice as you were?
No.
No?
No, my parents never fussed, and my sister never married, so they were people who loved children, but there was never any pressure.
Well, go ahead.
And we had a wonderful time being aunts and uncles and pretend grandparents to our friends' kids whose relatives lived in Kansas and California. So it was really terrific.
Thank you, Barry, for calling and changing. An email from Teresa. I'm going to ask the question she asked at the end. I would like to ask your guests if child-free people are from a certain socioeconomic status.
Yes and no. certainly we see people making the choice not to have children among more highly educated folks. This is a phenomenon in Western rich industrialized nations. We're not seeing this in places where people don't have access to education or birth control. We know that if we look at the nation level, places where women have equal access to education or close to equal access to education, access to the workplace, and access to birth control, that there are more people in those nations that make the choice not to have children.
We'll go to Amy calling from Bangor. Hi, Amy. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. I just wanted to say that your program today really spoke to me because I'm 22. I'm engaged to a man, and we're planning a wedding in June. And the question everyone asks is, well, where are the kids? Like, when are they coming? And I don't intend to have them.
And so, at age 22, you're being asked that, Amy. Wow.
I have a memory of being 16 when I started dating my fiance. And my soon-to-be mother-in-law is a wonderful woman, but she really wanted me to have kids. And I was asked, we were in a moving car, and she was like, so if you and Robert get married, when are you having kids? And it was an interesting time to then be like, oh, never. But, yeah.
Thank you.
That sounds like a lot of stories I've heard from women and men that I've interviewed about their choice. It can be difficult to face that familial pressure, and as Lance and I mentioned already, we've been really fortunate to not face that in our own families, but I feel and hear for people who do.
Yeah. Do you think that the reason a lot of people who have kids say things like that is because for them, having kids was such a wonderful experience, they don't want other people to miss out?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think that, and I think there's some genuine concern among, you know, parents and their adult children The question of who will take care of you when you're old often comes up. And as you said, for many people, parenthood is a wonderful experience and they want to share that. I love scuba diving and would love it if more people shared that experience with us. And I've heard people say that skydiving is something I should try and would love. Not going to try that and have also opted out of parenthood.
Right. Yeah, I think some people do that because or encourage you to have kids because they have a wonderful experience. I think that some people do it because they don't know what else to say. I think some people want to spread the punishment around. I've seen people that I don't think enjoy being parents act like you need to have kids too, which is really a bizarre kind of thing to me. I just think that it's so ingrained in us that this is the right thing to do that people almost don't know how to respond to it.
Rose on Facebook writes, yes, people judge my choice to be child-free all the time, and I'm constantly told you'll change your mind. I think people really just need to stay out of other people's business. I'm not hurting anyone else for my choice, but I'm certainly helping. Having a child just because you feel like you have to and not because you want to is never the right choice. We will go to Nancy calling from Freeport. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. This is so wonderful because all of the reasons that have been spoken of for not having children are reasons that I also considered in my choice not to have children. Three things I'd just like to say. One, when people ask me now, I'm in my 70s, so when people say, do you have grandchildren? Then I say, no, I don't have children by choice. And then they know there's no medical issue. It's just psychological or something else. But the other two things, I became a doula because I wanted to participate in the experience of birthing. And that was so wonderful, such a wonderful thing to do, to be present when other humans brought humans into the world. That was just a joy. And then another memory that just came to me as I was listening to the show, I sat with two of my dear, dear women friends. One was pregnant, already had a child. Another had children but was not pregnant. And we were just talking and talking and talking. And I totally burst into tears because I recognized this was an experience that was amazing that I chose very clearly not to have. And, no regrets at all, but it was just wonderful to feel that in my humanity somehow. But that's it.
Nancy, thank you so much for calling up and sharing. It's interesting that Nancy became a doula.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that many people who choose not to have children, it's not because they don't like children. I mean, Amy, you're surrounded by young people all day, every day, year round.
Yeah. Well, that's another one of these myths that we have about people who've made the choice not to have kids, that they all hate children. And it's a tricky when you're asked that question as a child-free person, it's a tricky question to answer, in part because I don't know that we should have to defend our choice with an answer about how much we love children. That seems a little off. But if you look at the research, you discover that actually most child-free people either like or don't mind children, and many of them are involved in children's lives. In my own research, 25% of the 70 women and men I interviewed actually chose careers that would require them to be involved in children's lives. So they're teachers, they're social workers, they're counselors, therapists, and they wanted those careers because they wanted to make a difference in children's lives.
Right. I agree with the other thing that you said earlier, which is one of the things that people do defensively when they say they don't want children, the next thing they say is, but it's not because I don't like children. And like Amy said, what if you don't like children? That's probably a great reason not to have kids, right? If you don't like kids, that should be fine. And you shouldn't be forced to feel that you need to have kids to have a reasonable or an enjoyable life.
We'll go to Jim, who's calling from Westbrook. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks so much. Very appreciated topic. The reason that I didn't have kids was because I grew up in a very heady cocktail of poverty, nonstop movement from school to school, and a mother who was bipolar. And I saw a lot of, I appreciate what the gentleman just said about people who hate kids. I saw a lot of people who hated kids who had kids. I was in one youth detention center in the South with a kid who I liked a great deal, whose father kept him in a shed. I just saw some really, really horrific things. And as I became a young, grown man, there were two things that were important to me, and that was creativity and the pursuit of romantic love with women. And I didn't really want anything to get in the way of either of those things. So with all of that in my background, the poverty, the horrific things I'd seen happen to kids amongst people who just were following that rote conventional path that they should have kids. With all due respect to people who bring their kids up well, I've seen many and all of that. But all of that added up to a mixture of me saying, well, I'm never going to do this. And just one last word about liking kids or not liking kids. Very often somebody will say to me, oh, you're so good with kids, you know, you should have your own. And I always say, you're missing a key thing. I might be good with your kid in this hour that I have over your house, but when I leave, I get to go home, and all the heavy lifting is up to you.
Well, Jim, thanks for calling and sharing your perspective. And, you know, I think everybody who's a parent would like to have somebody in their life that's the fun uncle to send their kid off to for a little while.
Right. Yeah, that's one argument I make in my book, that children are actually better off having adults in their lives who don't have children of their own as well. There's plenty of research that shows that. And parents are better off when their support systems include fellow parents, but also people who don't have kids.
Email from Susan. I think it would be wise for teachers to talk with their students in junior high and high school to have them really think about why they want to have children. Is it because of peer pressure, creating images of yourselves, wanting someone to take care of you in your elder years, or even take over your business? To really think about why people want to have children is a worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah, that's actually, I think, to me, one of the biggest points of Amy's research in the book, which is really about kind of flipping the default switch away from why are we choosing not to have children as opposed to why are we choosing to have children? I mean, we don't choose not to have a dog. We choose to have a dog. We don't choose not to do this or that. We need to make this into a positive choice as opposed to the default position, because I think people are better served going into something as important as parenthood knowing why they want to have children rather than that's just what you do.
That's our last word. Thank you both for being here today. That was Lance Blackstone. He's here with Amy Blackstone. Amy, a sociology professor at the University of Maine. Her forthcoming book, Child Free by Choice. Lance and Amy write the blog together, We Are Not Having a Baby. Lucy Suchak ran the board today. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our audio archives by MaineCalling.org. Today's show will be broadcast again tonight at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, the best and overlooked books of the year. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.